Thank you. Okay. So it wasn't very fast. Hopefully the stuff in the presentation will be. So about me. About me. I work on Klasma. I don't work with Qt. I don't write any of the stuff in Qt. And the problem comes is when people who don't work on Qt try to write stuff at using it. Because we need someone to know how it works. And in Klasma, I ended up being that guy. That guy had to learn how it works so we can use it, so we can write our own items. And I'm here because I wish I had somebody explain it to me when I started. So hopefully I can explain some of the things to you when you're involved. So in this talk, we're going to go through writing our own custom items. So if you don't want a rectangle but want to do a triangle instead, that's actually quite difficult. There's a range of different options and they all suck in different ways. Again, that's pretty good timing. We'll just ignore that for now. And then we're going to go over a few different rendering optimizations for if you're using a normal QML component. There's still a few little tricks that can make things a lot faster. Or rather, there's a few mistakes that can make things a lot slower. So, we'll go over some terminology. QML is a language which manipulates some types and manipulates two objects. It doesn't know what these two objects are. It doesn't care what the two objects are, so it can't draw anything. And then there's this word which gets used a lot, scene graph. And scene graph isn't anything specific to Qt. If you go to Wikipedia, you'll find it's used in games, and it's a big concept of storing data in a graph, and a way of traversing that graph and turning it into OpenGL calls, or other languages. Qt has an implementation called Qt scene graph, cleverly named, and it's Qt implementation of a scene graph. And there's this word, or collection of two words, Qt Quick, which is a way of using Qt scene graph. So it's the widgets to create an OpenGL context and load the graph and traverse the graph and make use of it. But it's also a library of objects which are usable from QML which manipulate a scene graph. And manipulating a scene graph is how you get things on the screen. So Qt comes with its collection of own items. It has rectangles. We love rectangles. It has text. And it has image. And that's pretty much most of the useful ones. And it's board image. But sometimes you need to make your own items. And we do in Klasma because we have a lot of complicated, more legacy stuff and more powerful stuff. So sometimes you need to make your own item because you have your own custom shapes, if you want to do a triangle, or your own custom shaders, if you want to do low-level OpenGL fast effects. You might want more control. So in Klasma, we load an SVG. Qt image can load an SVG, but we apply style sheets to the SVG. We select certain elements from the SVG. We need a lot more control than we can get by just using image. And finally, speed. A lot of the alternative ways of drawing things are very slow, and if you're drawing 100 of them, which you are when you're making components, which we are in Klasma, you need the speed. So your options of drawing a new item, like if you wanted to redo your own version of rectangle, are Qt painted item, and the way Qt painted item works is it goes through a traditional Qt painter style raster library. So it will tell you to use an old system, paint all of that into a pixmap, send that pixmap to your graphics card, use that as a texture, and then paint the texture. And you can tell by the amount of words I use, it's obviously quite a slow process. We have this lovely OpenGL thing, and then you can choose to ignore it completely. It's a good, quick way of getting things working. It's a fast thing to code, it's not a fast thing to run, and even the documentation for Qt painted items says it's rubbish. But it is useful. At times for fast porting. And there's another option of Canvas, which we take from the HTML5 world, where you give it a whole big set of instructions on how to draw whatever shape you want to do. And again, it interprets this program using a special language, saves that into a picture, and then the OpenGL world is just loading this picture. So it works, but if you're trying to animate something with it, if you want to be updating on a very fast basis, then it doesn't work. So updating once a second, it's fine. We use it in Klasma for system mode viewer. But for a graph, it's rubbish. And you don't want to be doing that hundreds of times. Having one or two canvases is fine. You don't want to have 100 of them. So the final option is to go native and do it exactly the same way that it keeps going internally, where we're manipulating a node in machine graph. And that's what I'm going to talk through here with an example of drawing something. So to make a new item, we subclass Cute Requiting, as you would expect. This is public API from Cute. And the virtual method update paint node, where we manipulate the nodes in the scene graph. And then when we finish updating the nodes in the scene graph, Cute will go through and render all of these nodes with OpenGL calls. And it's in this node where we do, in this method where we do all of the exciting work. So there's lots of different nodes in the scene graph. As you imagine from a graph, there's always a base class. In this case, QSG node, Cute scene graph node, SG for scene graph. And there's two different types of nodes within this. Transformation nodes, which affect all child nodes, and material nodes, which we're going to go through. So transformation nodes, there's some default ones. There's an opacity node, which changes the opacity of all sub-items. And the transform node, which is a 4x4 matrix, or it moves things and it makes things bigger or smaller. So you don't need to know matrix math. There's nice convenience functions inside this to do all the things that I've forgotten from A-level maths. Important nodes, material nodes, draw things, and that's the main reason you're using this, because you want to draw things. So everything inherits from QSG geometry node, which is a node with geometry, so a collection of triangles, which is what OpenGL uses, and the material, which is the 50 pictures you see on the screen. And the material is made up of a vertex shader and a segment shader. And geometry. And again, there's some useful one that Cute provides, because Cute is lovely, thank you, Cedric. Simple rect node, because Cute Rect is all about rectangles always. And simple texture node, so if you have a texture from some source, you can draw it on the screen. And it's a nice convenience method rather than having to write your own fragment shaders all of the time. But again, only really for those two options. So, as an example, we're going to talk through how to make a red rectangle. Cedric's talk had lots of green and yellow rectangles, mine are red. Clearly it's better, red is a faster colour. We all know this. What about orange? No, there's no orange in this. I had to submit something for Academy 2015. So we're going to go through a lot of code. Well, bits of code. This is pretty much all the things you have to do in your subclass. You have to set an awkward flag that you're going to forget, which is called item has contents. And you set this for Cute knows that your item has contents. Which point we go into this important node, update point node. And we're given the node that we gave update the scene graph last time. So in most cases, we just want to say we haven't changed, here's the node that we had last time. We're not updating the scene graph. But the first one, that hasn't happened, so you'll be given a null pointer. So we start with this null pointer, and we see, do I have not the node I gave it last time? If not, we make a new rectangle node, and we make it red. And then we have to say our node fills the same contents as our item. Because an item can be made up of several nodes. There's a class in KeepQuick called BorderImage, which is 9 different nodes, one for each section of a frame. And each node will have different points within the item. But if you just have one node, you need to make sure it fits. You need to give it some geometry. And then finally, we return the node that we've just made. And this has to be, this is called a lot. Lots and lots and lots. Anytime anything changes, we'll be calling our update paint node to see, have you changed your item? So it needs to be fast. Also, it's running on a different thread. You need to remember this, it runs in the render thread. So all the things you need have to either start with QSG, you know it's safe to use that from the render thread, or make sure you're calling thread first to code. So there's something to be careful of if you're ever doing this. So you try to avoid making unnecessary calls. So you see in this bit of code here, I only set the color once because I know I'm not changing that every time. And if you want to optimize it further, don't set the geometry every time as well. In personal, we end up normally keeping a flag of if the geometry is dirty, and you set that in the update geometries method. So you want to make this as fast as possible, as you can remember. And some loads have already been applied. We already supply an opacity node. If your item has an opacity, Qt will also have to insert an opacity node further in the chain. You will always have a transform node unless your coordinates are at 0, 0 to put your item in the right place. So you already have these three nodes applied. And then all your children are then added to the bottom of your node as well. So that uses a simple node that we already exist in Qt, but sometimes you might want to make your own node. You might want to make your own shader, so hopefully you're familiar with some OpenGL terminology. Making your own shader is you want to draw your own custom things. So shaders are small little programs that get sent to OpenGL library, compiled, and they run on your graphics drive. We're going to go through some examples, and you can use them either from shader writing in QML, or in Qt Quick, rather, that's a mistake, or native in QSD material, which you then use from your node. So, shaders, a super, super fast tutorial. There's a lot of stuff on here. If you want to write a shader, go to Google, type in what you want, and then copy and paste it. the simple thing is, for every position, we want to set the color of that position. We want to set this GL flag color variable. And we can provide external data into our little program, into our little shader, such as a texture, or a color, or other numbers. So now we're going to go through an example. This is a fragment shader to draw something red. So we're saying, any time we call, the color should be set to this vector, and the vector has four things, RGB, and the opacity, RGB alpha. And it goes from 0 to 1, unlike any normal system. So if you want it to be red, we set red to 1, and leave everything as zeros. And that will make anything red if you use this shader. Fairly self-explanatory. Something to watch out for is this extra variable being set, again, by Qt. It's Qt opacity, and we need to make sure that alpha on our flag color is the alpha we meant to be. So we need to always implement this Qt opacity. So when you are copying and pasting off the internet, you do need to manipulate things slightly. Fragment shaders need to make sure we set alpha to be a Qt opacity, and for vertex shaders, we need to multiply everything for our matrix we've been supplied with before. And you can see a special part of Qt because you start with Qt underscore. If you miss them out, Qt will just usher out and start at you. So that's quite important. If you're using it from shader writing, it doesn't want to crash because it's being done on the fly, so instead you get a lovely pink rectangle. If you see a pink rectangle, pink's covered, orange is still missing. Pink rectangle means you've gone wrong. So now we've created a shader, we need to use this from a node so we can return it. So we need to create a new type of node that uses a segment shader. And here we have to subclass QSG material shader. There's a lot of new classes, but hopefully now you'll know what to Google for. So we've got this quite large example, which I wish I had this mirrored now. We have to supply a vertex shader, and it's just returning a large string with the previous program. So we have a program within a program. It's like you're being a web developer now with this awful code like this. And we only supply a fragment shader. And I'll put all of this online so we don't have to go through everything here. So we just supply a fragment shader. And here we've got the one I did before where we're just always returning red, a red square. So that gives us our material. And we have a factory to our system here because we only want to have the one fragment shader loaded. So it goes through the factory class, we have to input the QSG material and saying it's returned to material shader. And then we have our item. And in our update paint node, it's exactly as it was before, except now we have to say we're using our new material. So in our new node, we create a material, and we create a geometry node, and we say this geometry node should be given a material. And we see node set material. So our node now has a material we made earlier, which makes everything red. That's not very useful because we've just recreated something that already exists, which you don't want to do. Keeps implementations are normally better. The other rectangles can have radius and rounded corners, as can't. For a more useful example, We have a situation in plasma where we have two icons, we want to fade between. It's a nice little subtle fade. And when you go from one Q icon, which is normally fixed size 32 by 32, to a slightly larger version, 64 by 64, sometimes it's different. We want a small transitional fade between the two. So without making our own pipe, we would have to create both the images. We then have to create two shader effect sources, so we can use it in a shader effect item. Create a shader effect to blend between the two, to run our little new fragment shader, which blends between two different images. So we'd have to make five different things, which gets very complicated. So in our fragment shader here, we loaded two textures from this previous, from our icons, and we merge them together. There's this nice command called mix, which takes two sources. So here we're saying for each pixel, take the RGB from one texture, take the RGB from another texture, and mix it by this arbitrary value, U_transitionTables. And this is a variable we set from our mode. Every time we update paint mode, we update this uniform, and the fragment shader then draws something different. But it means all the processing, all of that blending the items is being done on the GPU, rather than the previous way of doing it, blending things on the CPU, in your main thread, turning it into a texture, and then uploading it, because that becomes really slow. It takes about 800 milliseconds to upload a 500 by 500 pixel to a GPU, 800 microseconds. Doesn't sound like a lot, but you only have 16 milliseconds to render a whole frame if you're trying to keep 60 frames a second. So you can't really afford to waste a lot. So that's hopefully given some sort of very fast insight into making your own items. You probably need to read a bit about it, but it's worth doing. It's not as scary as it sounds to make your own items. So now we're going on to a bit of optimizations. The most important optimization is batching. And batching can be explained with a simple question. If drawing a red rectangle takes 5 milliseconds, how long will it take to draw 20 red rectangles? Still in the red rectangles, there's a lovely example at the bottom. So if we look at what happens in terms of raw OpenGL calls for drawing a red rectangle, we can see we're setting a program, draw a red rectangle, and we're drawing two triangles, so six different vertex points. And there's a lot of other gibberish at the start and the end. But to draw a red rectangle, just the few lines and the GL draw elements, which is the expensive, important part that draws two triangles. So if we were to draw 20 rectangles, it would look absolutely huge. We'd be making a lot more OpenGL calls. It would be 20 times more expensive. It would take a whole second. But with this lovely feature called batching, we can do it all in the same number of calls. The only difference now is instead of drawing... Oh, this is being cropped, that's quite bad. Instead of drawing six different points, we're drawing 120 points. So we're drawing 40 rectangles. So it can all be done in the same number of OpenGL calls. We're not making context switches, which is expensive. Drawing these 20 rectangles takes about the same amount of time as drawing just the one, because it's just the same number of calls for OpenGL, and the graphic card does internal optimizations, and it does a lot of really good ones. So you definitely have 19 rectangles almost for free. Obviously, it takes a bit longer, but not 20 times longer. So you want to make the most of batching. And Qt will do all of this for us. You give it items, you give it nodes. It will traverse the tree properly in a way that it can batch as much as possible. But there are some catches. There are some things which don't batch. And a lot of them, some of them are avoidable, and they really boost performance. So here we saw when we were drawing 20 rectangles, same number of OpenGL calls as one item, and just a lot faster. And you can test what's being batched by passing this environment variable, QSD visualize equals batches. And then everything that's being run in the same batch gets overlaid with a specific color of that batch. So everything that's done in one batch will be red, everything that's done in the next batch will be yellow. And if you run it on Plasma Shell right now, it looks like some sort of day part tide trade. It's just hundreds of colours everywhere. So that's bad. So we're going to go through some examples and we'll play Will It Batch? 5 minutes. Okay. Just letting you know how long I have left. Okay, so here we've got three brilliantly designed buttons. They've got some colours and they've got some text. And this is the output we're going to see when we turn on Visualize Batches. or whether that table is being done in one pass, or a text being done in a different pass. So you have to change program to the program that draws text. Now, a different example, we've changed the last button to say cheese, and the background's blue. Will it batch? Yes? Sorry, yes. Because we're already changing the position between each one, we're already changing the vector. It's conceptually no different from the previous example. You're changing an attribute as well. So it just means in the bigger array of things to draw and parameters of the things to draw, you're just adding more things to it. So that's fine. It can still be the same number of, it's still one call. Here, I've got some more text is overflowing the button. So like a brilliant programmer, I just added clicking onto everything. Will it batch? Yes, yes. Well done. As you can see here, everything's now a different colour because it's not batching. So things to optimise, don't use clip unless you need to. It's expensive, you turn on GL scissoring and then you turn it off again. Lots of context switching and it's bad and it breaks batching. And you don't often need to do it. For text, there's a thing called a leading, where it will automatically cut itself to the right point. Images have a fill mode, which can cut itself to the right point. And animations, often in Plasma, we use clicking because we are animating something out of the screen and you don't want it overlapping the border. But we can just turn it off again when we're not animating. Very small change makes a big difference in performance. And you can see which things are being clicked using QFD visualize equals overdraw. And that effect looks really cool. So at some point, run past my soul of that because it's interesting. Overlapping transparent items can't be batched. Textures are an interesting one. Will they batch this? Yes. You don't really know. It's a mystery. Textures can't be batched. It's a specific call to say, I'm going to switch to a different texture. So, textures can't be batched, but you can see it. There's a concept called a texture atlas, where you tell OpenGL you have a big texture, and then you put all of your small little textures onto a big texture. And the output, you're not changing texture each time, so your editing can be batched, and it's a lot faster. An image and border image and everything keeps, except you could paint it, will do it all for you. When you're dealing with your own custom data, you do need to care about that. And again, you can turn on QFD Visualize Atlas, and you can see everything which has an atlas and everything which doesn't. Any questions?
Thank you.